the kitchen, Mama lined canning jars on the table while a pot of stewed tomatoes waited on the stove. At the sink, Racine wiped a dish with a cloth as she wiggled to a song on the radio. Even though I was only 10 months older than Racine, it might as well have been 100, because Racine had a hole in her head as big as Texas. She was 100% female. She had a butt twist and walk like the teenagers down at the Park's Lodge, even though she was only 10 years old. She wanted dancing lessons more than anything in the world. I believe Racine would have given up Christmas for tap shoes and lessons at Lynette Logan's Dancing and Baton Twirling School. I'd rather drive. "Move over," I told her. She cocked her head to the side, blinking her eyelashes.
"What do you say?"
"Move over or I won't help you with the dishes.
How about pretty please with whipped cream and a cherry on top?
How about I go back outside and let you do the dishes by your pretty please with whipped cream and cherry on top self?" Mama sighed. "Enough." Racine snapped her tongue against the roof of her mouth and scooted a few inches to the left. She tucked a strand of her thin brown hair behind her ear. That was another thing different about us. Racine's silky hair hung straight like the models on magazine covers. Mine waved and turned frizzy like a Brillo pad at the slightest hint of rain. The phone rang and Mama glanced at the clock. 8 o'clock on the dot. Aunt Levita. After Grandpap moved in with her family, Aunt Levita called Mama every morning at 8, griping. Mama got where she could set her watch by Aunt Levita's call. The telephone barely rang the second time when Mama answered, "Hello, Levita. What is it today?" It was just about everything. One day, Aunt Levita complained that Grandpap walked through the neighborhood fetching everyone's mail and bringing it to their door. Grandpap had been the mailman for 20 years in Moon. But Aunt Levita said people who lived in nice, fancy neighborhoods didn't take kindly to anyone opening their mailboxes, much less touching their letters and bills. Some grumpy old neighbor down the street even threatened to call the FBI or the CIA. Last week, Aunt Levita marched into our house, swinging her handbag with a gloved hand. Her teased brown hair looked like a football helmet. After plopping herself on our old couch, she announced that Grandpap dug up half her yard to grow sugarcane. With quick breaths between words, she kept patting her chest with her hand.
I declare I don't know what to do.
I would have bet my prized squirrel tail that she was going to have a heart attack right smack in our living room. Mama stayed calm while Aunt Levita talked. Then she asked, "Is it going to hurt anything to let him have a little garden? He's always planted some sugar cane." Aunt Levita took one giant breath, then released it. "But Arlene, I've planted an English rose garden for teas and luncheons. Papa dug up your roses?"
"No."
"But how can you have a sugarcane crop growing 10 yards from an English rose garden? That would be tacky." Mama had always listened as Aunt Levita went on and on. But today, Mama's forehead wrinkled as her ear pressed to the telephone. She said, "Levita, we can't do that." I heard Aunt Levita's muffled squawking coming from the phone. She sounded like a chicken getting its neck wrung. "But Levita," Mama said, "we always swore we'd never do that to Mama or Papa." "Squawk, squawk, squawk." "But..." Mama never got to say another word because Aunt Levita had hung up. Mama stared at the phone in her hand. "What did Aunt Levita want now?" I asked. Mama glanced my way and frowned. "Janelle, be careful, or you'll break that dish. We only have 4 left as it is.